Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. Hey guys, I recently caught up with Howard Taggart, the CEO and founder of Ylopo, an absolutely amazing man who's accomplished a lot, and he is accomplished coming by here and dropping some value for you guys here today. So make sure you take notes, get ready, and let's go. Well, thanks so much for jumping on and chatting with us a little bit today, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate being here.
You're a busy guy.
It is all hands on deck when you've got a real estate tech company and you're in the early growth stage. But this is the best, you know, for me, this is always the best part of the life cycle of the curve, you know.
It's fun. It's for sure. It's every day is different.
That's true.
So I'm so sorry. My phone, my tech that's going on. My wife always knows exactly when to call me. So So tell us about yourself, man. Tell us, you know, who are you? I know that you're kind of a guy that needs no introduction, but for anybody that hasn't heard of you, you know, who are you? Where'd you come from? And what do you do now?
Sure. So I guess when people ask me who don't know me, I'm like, what do you do? I don't really know how to answer that question. I would characterize myself as sort of a serial entrepreneur and business owner. I'm also a pretty heavy duty real estate investor as well. And my first business, I started 2 years out of college. So I knew right out of college that I did not want to spend my life working for someone else, that I wanted to be a business owner, even if it was a small business owner, that I valued my autonomy, freedom, and creativity more than just making money. I was on a fast track to make a ton of dough in the sort of the investment banking and high level strategy consulting, M&A world, but I just didn't enjoy it. You know, I just didn't wake up in the morning wanting to go there and do what we did, right? So I sort of looked around and decided that I wanted to own a business. It was really before, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, Grant. So it was really before the day that, you know, you had like a 23-year-old kid that would walk around with a PowerPoint with no business and raise a couple million bucks because it seemed like a really cool business idea, right? And that happens all the time now. Mm-hmm. So back then, it just wasn't part of our understanding or vocabulary. So myself and my other partner were just, you know, 2 years out of college. We're sort of like, okay, we want to start a business, but we didn't have a lot of money. Neither one of us had a lot of dough. So we looked particularly for a business that we could start with little to no capital, right? And that's what we did. I think together we put like, you know, I don't know, $3,000 to $5,000 together. That's all we had. And we started the business out of our living room because we couldn't afford both a place to live and an office, right? And we did it, you know, and that wasn't even in the space at all. We basically ended up building the largest test prep business in California. So we were doing like SAT, ACT prep. We wrote a whole course. And it ended up one day where, you know, we had hundreds of instructors throughout the state and thousands of clients. And we ended up getting acquired by Sylvan Learning Systems, which was the largest international sort of holding company for educational businesses. And it was a really great journey. And, you know, every day I woke up excited about what I was doing and excited that we had a business that was great for us. It was great for our clients. We were raising kids' scores, 300 points, you know, our employees loved working there. And it just kind of checked all the boxes for me. So, you know, after that, I was looking for another business where it could check all those boxes, where it was a good business, good profitable business, where it was something that, you know, I could create a great work environment for the people I work with, where my clients really valued what we did, and we weren't taking advantage of everyone, that people just loved us who were our clients, where we felt like we were adding some greater good and just doing something new and different, where every morning I woke up, was excited about it. And I basically spent, you know, a few years just saying no, 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 looking at all this stuff, a lot of stuff coming my way. And then I had a guy that came to me who used to basically be a sort of programmer at my prior company. And he said, you know, I spent a bunch of time working. He actually spent a bunch of time working with his brother in a brokerage in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he did what he did. He was a brilliant guy and just programmed. And he created this really cool, what we call now an all-in-one system where, you know, he basically created these sort of micro home search sites and was doing all the pay-per-click, you know, marketing on Google and, you know, just basically, you know, a hyper-focused CRM and just did everything in this 360 system. And it was really, really cool. He showed it to me. He's like, what do I do with it? Right? Because they were just using it in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it was the first thing I truly got excited about. I did a lot of due diligence in the real estate space and spoke to people for like well over a month before I circled back to him and said, you know what, I've done my research and there's a great need for what you've built. So let's go launch a company. And that's what we did. And that was the start of Tiger Lead, which I started in beginning of 2007. And we really put this sort of the notion of the all-in-one system on the map. And we had like hockey stick growth. I mean, we were selling out territories right and left. Our clients were killing it, just killing it with the system. Back in the day, believe it or not, you know, Zillow wasn't on Google Pay-Per-Click and Realtor.com wasn't and Redfin. And it was wide open, man. It was the Wild West. So we could get on there, get on page one of Google and advertise these home search sites and get like 14% click-to-lead conversions and generate, you know, 600 leads a month for our clients. It was nuts. It was just the Wild West. It was great. So we had a really rabid following and loved my experience. In sort of late 2012, we got acquired by Realtor.com and we were able to kind of marry this great sort of technology with their massive sales force. We had never really built up a big sales organization. Sort of proud to say that, you know, we focus more on building great tech and great service than just building this giant sales organization, right? So we married the two, and in 2013, we were the fastest growing division in all of Move, which includes Realtor.com and Top Producers and all that. So I was there for a bit, and that was kind of a good journey, and I'm back, you know, back in the space, and, you know, basically in the beginning of 2016, we launched what we now offer to the real estate community, and, you know, it's hard to kind of shake, you know, the Tiger Lead right background because we're not an all-in-one. Like we're not doing what all the other, we really spawned a big industry of all-in-ones, and Commissions Inc. had tremendous success and Boomtown has had tremendous success. And there's Firepoint and TorchX and Zirpal and the list goes on and on. There's a lot of all-in-ones, right? We had no interest. My co-founder is Jufeng G. I call him G. I really call him G Money because he's so brilliant. He just, anyone he touches, he makes money for him. I'm the mouthpiece, he's the brains, right? And, you know, we're totally different animal, right? We basically are sort of a next generation digital marketing platform. We are pushing the forefront of Facebook digital marketing, both on the lead generation and on the lead nurture side. Facebook's done, you know, two case studies on us. They're about to release a third case study on us. So I'm really honored to be probably the only real estate tech company that where they've done like three case studies on us. We're learning from them. They're learning from us. That's, you know, really amazing and a testament to what our tech and marketing crew, you know, are doing. So we're back in the space. We're a totally different animal. And as opposed to being a closed all-in-one system, we play well in the sandbox with everybody. So we're trying to really integrate with almost every major CRM that's out there. So you're on Follow Up Boss, you're on Lion Desk, you're on Contactually, you're on Sync, you're on Boom, whatever CRM you're on, we can really plug and play well. So you can stay with that CRM. If you've got if you've just really used to it or you've been spun up on it or your whole team's been spun up on it for, you know, 2 years, 5 years, it's fine. We don't want to take you off of it. But we basically, you know, it's a little bit difficult in a short period of time to explain everything we do because we have a huge sort of product set of everything we do, and dive into that if you want to. Let's just say that I've never been more excited about anything I've done in my career. I've never loved my team more than the team I work with now. Never been more excited. And it's great to be back in the real estate tech space because I really sounds crazy. I love working with agents, whether they're solo, husband and wife teams, and we have massive teams. We're now starting to work with, you know, today we're talking with the number one RE/MAX team in the world that is signing on with us. So we're starting to work with really the big hitters who also want to dominate their market. So I know that I kept going there today. So I'll let you ask another question. Does that sort of tell you who I am?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I really appreciate the in-depth kind of insight into who you are and what you guys do. My first question would be, like, what did you see? Right. So you kind of explained how you went into Tiger Leagues and how that started. But it seems like you've got some great insight or some great insight or intuition into what's coming next. Right. So if you look at Tiger Leagues and going to realtor.com for a little while, and then now you've got Wailopo, what have you seen that's really kind of steered you in each direction? And, you know, we're evolving now faster than we ever have as a society, as a marketing engine, as a sales engine, as an industry. So I'm interested. I'm sure some of the people listening too, like, what have you seen from each of your experiences that points you down this path of, okay, we need to go this way because something's happening here.
Yeah. So that's my, you know, one of my roles here is to be able to be, you know, sometimes out of the everyday weeds to think about the industry and think about where we're going. I always say, you know, the most successful business people I've seen are those people that can look around the corner. It's very difficult, right? It's very difficult for any of us to have time. We're so caught up in our daily to-dos, both business and personal, to be able to have time to look around the corner to try to see what we can't really see, right? So let me say this. I am always trying to do that, and it evolves. I can tell you that when we first started Wailopo, we were zigging before we were zagging. So we, you know, I like to say that I figured it out right at the beginning of Wailopo, and I could see it clearly, and we went down the right path. But, you know, we tried this and we tried that. We kind of went down a few different paths before it really crystallized as to what the right path was. And so sometimes it takes a constant awareness and a constant thought process. So I would say that I wasn't smart enough, right, to really see it at the beginning, what I can see pretty clearly right now. And I think that the future is basically what I'm seeing right now at the very highest level is I'm seeing technology companies and lead gen companies, namely the portals, who are really flirting with the notion of becoming real estate companies, right? And I'm also seeing real estate companies, Compass and EXP, Keller Williams especially, right? I'm seeing real estate companies who are saying, well, to keep our agents, we need to become technology companies and give them really badass technology. So what's happening? There's like this convergence of these giant brands on the technology side and on the real estate side who are somehow really becoming eventually the same animals, right? And they're tech companies trying to get their hands into the pot of the full commission stream, right? So the way I see it is that I've always looked at, you know, whether I was at Tiger or especially now at Wailopo, what I've always seen is, you know, I don't want to be a brokerage. I don't want to vertically integrate. I want to do what we do. I want to focus on technology, constantly producing technology that disrupts the industry, doing new things in terms of marketing, remarketing, lead nurture, using artificial intelligence for lead nurture and pushing the envelope there. And we do what we do and try to make it easy for our clients. So let my real estate clients be the best agents, team leaders, and brokers they can be, knowing that they can rely on us to provide the state-of-the-art tech. So what we can do for the folks that still want to stay independent, right, and have their own independent businesses, we can empower them and equip them with the technology of the big guys. And even better, honestly, because I don't think the big guys are all that nimble. I don't think they're all that agile. They have to try and build for everybody. And so I actually think we can build technology to give them an advantage over the big guys. And that's the true essence of the partnership, right? I don't get into their commission stream, right? And they don't get into my tech stream, but they can rely on us. We make it easy for them. There's a lot of companies, right, that act more as consultants and say, here's your tools, but you got to go do it. We sort of believe in the fact that, you know, our clients are so busy doing what they do, being great real estate agents and trying to run their teams and grow their business. They don't have time to become state-of-the-art digital marketers, and they don't have the time to build AI technology, and they don't have the time to build the best mobile optimized home search or the best, you know, Squarespace, you know, real estate enabled websites, all that stuff that we do for them. Right. So to me, that's the kind of the vision going forward, which is letting our clients not only compete, but actually beat the big guys, where we're reading all these headlines in Inman. So that's kind of what I'm focused on. There are industry trends that are really important. Everybody's vying for agents, right? They're growing their brokerages, they're growing their teams, they're doing expansion teams. You're going to see more virtual brokerages. So everybody's trying to recruit. So we are building already a state-of-the-art digital marketing machine for recruiting. And that will be for people that want to dominate their market. They want to have, you know, the best recruiting out there. We're already, you know, we feel we're already, you know, at the top of the food chain in terms of state-of-the-art digital marketing, especially on social. So why not leverage that? Not just focus on the consumer lead gen and the consumer nurture, but also focus on helping people build their team. So we're focused on that. Really, like I said, I think nurture is the other thing that we're really differentiating ourselves on. So many people have been doing lead gen for so long, mm-hmm. and everyone's so focused on new leads. They are shortchanging this giant database. I can't tell you, Grant, just literally in the last few weeks, how many folks told me, like, well, you know, I've got a database of like 20,000 leads, but they're so old, you know, that, oh, there's probably only like, you know, 2,000 of them that are valuable. And I'm telling them, no, you're not seeing it correctly. Because statistically, the average consumer, you know, sits in their home for whatever it is, you know, 4.7 years. And guess what? They list and they buy again. Mm-hmm. So I don't care how old they are, right? We have the ability, whether they are 2 months old, 24 months old, or 12 years old, I don't care. I want to just know who they are. We ingest them into our machine and we stay in front of them. And if they're not interested, they're not going to be tempted to look at our ads either on the buyer side or the seller side, because we can do both buyer lead gen, seller lead gen. Home search lead gen really is both, right? There's some people that are looking to homes to sort of, in a sense, create comparables for their own home. 60% of our leads are both buyers and sellers anyway. They're really both, right? You're normally selling them before you buy. So I struggle sometimes when people say buyer leads and sellers, but, you know, we're doing all of it. But we're just staying in front of everybody. We're staying in front of everyone in my client's spheres. And you never know when the time is right. When the time is right, they're going to start flirting with the ads you're putting in front of them or the remarketing you're putting in front of them. And if they're light, if they're really sort of still far out, they're going to have a light touch. But if their significant other says to them, hey, honey, it is time to move. We have outgrown this house. Or the opposite. Or, hey, honey, everyone's left our house. We need to downshift and go to the city center. Right. So we're way on top of that. And then they start really, really engaging. And we have algorithms working all the time to pick up the increased level of their home search activity. So my clients don't have to sit there and wait and watch and figure out themselves, like, hey, has someone looked at a home for the fourth time? Or is someone changing their search behavior from the suburbs to the city? Or did someone share a home with their significant other? Or did someone start favoriting five homes and they haven't really been active for the last 2 months? So we're using AI to watch all that. Ultimately, I'm a bit old school, even though we're on the forefront of technology. I'm old school in the sense that at the end of the day, agents will never be disintermediated by technology. At the end of the day, this is the most valuable, most important transaction of a consumer's life. Mm-hmm. And the agent is not just a salesperson. Okay, they're not just opening up a door, right? They're shepherding them through an entire process from, you know, searching for homes and visiting homes, and then most importantly, navigating through a, you know, 200-page document, right? And making sure everything's done right so that, you know, the escrow is successful. So my opinion, it's fantasy to think that agents should or will be disintermediated, or that their commissions should be squeezed. I don't believe in it, right? What I think is that we use technology to make the agents more efficient so they can get more conversations, so they can automate the initial contacts up to the point where it does need to be a real conversation with a real person. Warm them up to that point, get them up maybe to the appointment point, right? And so there's a, you know, that handoff between tech and real person that I think is really the most critical piece.
Beautiful. I love it. That's good stuff, man. That's really good stuff. Obviously, you and I, we've sat down privately. We share a lot of very, very similar ideals. You don't have to explain this to me, but I'm curious. I think our audience might be curious. Why Facebook? Why now? And as an extension, I think agents are not necessarily shiny object, driven, right? But there's a lot of people pushing shiny objects at real estate agents. So why Facebook? Why now? And when do you think the next thing might come about? You know, and is that Instagram? Is that this? Is it that?
Yeah. Loaded question, man. Great, great questions. And I also want to take my hat off to you. I was really impressed seeing you. You know, we spoke both at the same conference. David Kurz did a great job at Real Talk Miami. It was his first conference. I was really impressed with the content and the tone and vibe of that conference. And so I was super impressed with you. And the analogy I want to make is, you know, you knew how to engage the audience, get them interested, and then leave something at the end for them to kind of come back to you on, right? Right? Like that interest grabber went all the way through to the, they still wanted to connect with you after the speech, right? And that was brilliant. I already complimented you on that. So I love that. And that's kind of what we're doing right in social media, right? You were already in the right audience. You were in front of the right audience, and you knew what you need to say to that audience to get them interested. You knew what the leave behind should be. And that's kind of what we're doing on social media in many ways, right? We're getting our clients, brand and team and message, open houses, listings, in front of the right folks, the relevant folks, the folks that we know will be interested, right? And trying to give them something of value so that they keep coming back, right? So, I think that it didn't make sense for us to just come back and just become another Google pay-per-click company, right? I mean, we can do it, right? And it's, if you're in vacation markets, like we need to do Google pay-per-click for you because people are looking from out of town. So there are certain reasons why, you know, when you do want to do Google pay-per-click. But nothing's really changed there other than it's become much more difficult to get on page one of Google pay-per-click. And I think if you're not on page one, I think you're kind of screwed, right? Mm-hmm. Costs have gone way up. Conversions have gone way down. Everyone's doing the same thing, right? Consumers might register for a site one day and come back and re-register for your competitor's site the next day. And it may even be the same tech company you're with, mm-hmm. which we would never do. But, that's just what happens, right? And now you've got, Zillow, Realtor.com, and Trulia, and Redfin, and Zip, and you got all these guys, right, on Google. So I think that's difficult. I think a lot of people were really heavy into SEO, where they were not buying their place, right, but they were trying to naturally get their page up on Google. Well, that game has changed, right? That game's super difficult. And how are you going to compete with the real estate team in your area who's had an SEO page that's been killing it for 10 years, right? And they're the only ones that might be able to squeak in on the last spot. They're still squeaking on that last spot with all these giant guys spending a lot of money on it. Google is a business. At the end of the day, they want to make the most money they can from page one. And they can change their algorithm at any time. And I've seen it. I've seen people go from 0 to 60, even 60 to 0, right? When Google changes its algorithm with SEO. So there's challenges there. I think social media is what we're all about. And I think that's the future. I think it's been very difficult. I think, someone tried Facebook 4 or 5 years ago and they failed. They said the leads stunk. Well, they probably did. But the game's changed because Facebook has been one of the best social media companies to increase the level. It's not just what we do. It's Facebook increasing their game and their product set in terms of digital marketing tools that are available. So now we have the most sophisticated dynamic product catalog ads for real estate. We can ingest your IDX data feed from your MLS. Clients can carousel through ads. They can carousel through sold data, market data, all the stuff that you couldn't do 4 or 5 years ago, right? So there's a lot of people that advertise, services for marketing and remarketing But the problem is that the devil's in the details. The devil's really in the details. And anyone can kind of create nice ad copy or boost the post or whatever. But unless you're in the utilizing the most state-of-the-art lead ad technology, the most state-of-the-art DARE technology, you're nowhere with Facebook, right? So, and they keep iterating, right? So you've got to have an engineering team that can keep up with how fast they're iterating.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be getting into Facebook Messenger, which is killer, getting into conversations that people are having, just everything that they'll allow us to do, we're doing, right? I think that we're super fascinated by Pinterest. Pinterest has a really nice dovetail with the real estate community. A lot of folks online looking at homes, looking at decor, looking at, you know, what's, how am I going to redo my kitchen or my bathrooms, my living room, all that. So the real estate focused search is going on. So we are in conversations with Pinterest, and we'll, you know, they need to catch up a little bit, right, in terms of their ad technology, but I think they're going to be great. I think they're going to be killer. Instagram we're already doing, because Instagram is, people always think of Instagram and Facebook as separate, but Instagram is part of the Facebook audience network. So we're very, very heavily into Instagram right now. So, and when you're part of the Facebook audience network, you know, you're basically in this giant sort of display network, you know, so you are, your remarketing is showing up on ESPN.com and CNN.com and all these other places. It's not just Facebook, right? So, you know, we are looking heavily at LinkedIn. There's a lot of stuff we are excited about on LinkedIn. And I'll only go so far to divulge exactly the stuff that we do behind the scenes. I mean, we've got a great engineering team, and sometimes, you know, Facebook could show us something for just, you know, a couple of months, and then they deprecate it and you don't see it again, right? But we learn from that experience, right? And can reverse engineer some stuff. So,
and to that point, we're talking about, sorry to cut you off, but you were talking about how fast they evolve and how fast they move and how fast they drive and how fast they make changes. And I don't know that the recent move by Facebook to remove these targeting terms was a fast move, right? I don't know that it was a reactionary to HUD either. I don't necessarily believe that that's how those two things kind of coincided, the way that Inman and other publishers kind of made that out to look like. But when you look at the changes that are taking place in Facebook, given what the industry is doing, I have my opinion of some of these different types of things. But what's your opinion about some of the changes that are taking place with Facebook removing a lot of targeting terms, people arguing about Facebook's response to HUD? Will agents be able to advertise those different types of things? What are some of your thoughts on some of the...
Look, I personally think there's no doubt that Facebook is reacting to, it's not just the HUD thing, but, you know, it's a lot of pressure coming from a lot of places. Not just here in the States, but Europe as well. So I think they're definitely reacting to it, and they're definitely nervous about it, right? For us, it, you know, selfishly, it becomes an opportunity, because when they don't allow the rest of the industry to easily target, that's when you need really hardcore technology that talks to other technology where we can actually still target. So for us, it sounds weird, but them getting rid of that targeting is great for us because we can still do it. We're just not using their simple tools to do it, right? We've got our own tool set to do it, if that makes sense. So, it's just super sophisticated stuff. And you know, my recommendation, and again, it might sound self-serving, is, you know, if you're a real estate agent, if you're a small team, mid-sized team, large team, brokerage, you know, work, partner with another company that spends 100% of their time doing what they do, so you can spend 100% time doing what you do, building your business, right? And that's kind of the partnership. And I think the other piece of advice is, you know, I was talking about it before, which is, to me now, your old lead is more valuable even than the new lead. I mean, I think you should always be generating new leads, and I like to use the word relationships. I think the term lead really devalues what this is. You're connecting with a person who has a family, who has a history, who has dreams, desires, right? It's building a relationship, right? And that's where social media, you know, over, let's say, Google, becomes so powerful, because you can stay in touch with them through a lifetime, through all the different tools we have, right? Through AI-based behavioral texting, which is, you know, what we use, through, you know, social remarketing, dynamic remarketing, dynamic listing alerts, bonded listing alerts, where we figure out if they get wedded to a particular property, then we can have the listing alerts revolve around that property. So you stay in touch with these folks forever, right? It really is lifetime marketing to everyone in your sphere. So my advice to you is grow your database of relationships every month. Keep it growing, no matter how you do it. Running open houses, make sure whoever's running your open houses is not just walking people over to a piece of paper and saying, sign this, and then you're never in touch with them again, right? Get them onto a great home search experience. Say, hey, I can give you a buyer's advantage as soon as a home comes on the market, or as soon as there's a price reduction, you're going to get notified. Enroll them, right? Now you're creating a free lead or a free relationship. Wherever you're at, I don't care if it's a cocktail party, I don't care if you're buying leads from us, you portal leads, you're buying Zillow or Realtor.com leads. That's great. That's awesome. Those are great leads. But not every one of those leads will buy right away. Make sure they're on a nurture system, right? Make sure that you're constantly getting your home search in front of them so they don't have to go to Zillow, right? So they don't have to go back to Google, right? Keep them in front of you. So I want to point out to everyone that's listening that the most valuable asset that they have is their database. It's their database of relationships.
Absolutely.
Their brand's important, right? The brand's important. But you want to build something that can live even beyond you, even if you take yourself out of production someday, right? So building that database, that's if you're a jeweler, man, you got gold watches and diamonds, right? If you're a car collector, you got all these badass cars, right? But as a realtor, what you can build up is a database of 5,000 leads, 10,000 leads. We talked to someone today who had, 120,000 lead database. We don't have to do any new lead gen for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Just way better lead nurture and way better remarketing than they have now. And it's just money. It's just literally printing money based on your database. So that's like the number one piece of advice I can give people.
Absolutely, man. That's perfect advice to end with too, man. I appreciate you so much. I know you're a really, really busy guy, but taking 30 minutes or so to stop by and chat with everybody and just drop some really valuable insights into the current state of the union, if you will, and kind of the future of the industry and what to look out for. And I could not agree more. And it's something that we preach from the mountaintops as often as we possibly can. Build up those databases as much as you possibly can. And it's something that can really help you. You're talking about difference between branding and direct marketing and data and those different types of things. You've got to, in my opinion, own a lot of that data before you really start to build up a big thriving brand. And if you do it in reverse, right, you try to build a big brand and you forget the whole data building piece, you might have a tribe of followers or what we call influencers today, or you might be an influencer or what we would call today, but don't necessarily own any real assets that could carry your business forward through any type of market. And I think that's a really, really, really sharp advice. Howard, I appreciate you. I appreciate you a ton. It's really nice to connect with you again. I genuinely appreciated getting to know you a little better in Miami and getting
same here, Brent. Yeah, same here.
But I know you're a busy guy, so we'll let you go. We appreciate you. And where's the best place? If somebody was listening to this, man, I got to meet this Howard guy. Where's the best place for them to connect with you?
That's a good question. I've been pretty low profile for the last few years. I'm kind of coming out a little bit more as we're really growing and I'm getting invited to speak at more events. So coming up, I believe September 20th, I'll be in Chicago at the Explode event.
Nice.
Matt Fagioli's Explode Group. So I'll be in Chicago. Love to have you come out. I think it's at Airport Hilton O'Hare or something like that. And then the next week I'll be in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, also at some Explode workshops. And I'll be, we'll be in Atlanta in October. We'll be at the Club Wealth event. The Club Wealth event's a great event to meet up with us, to get a lot more time with us. So, Club Wealth is running a great event in, I believe that's like November 12th out in Anaheim. So take your kids to, Disney, go to Club Wealth, meet up with us there. And I'm going to be speaking as well at the NAREB conference in Redondo Beach, National Association of Hispanic Realtors. That one's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be talking more about my building wealth through real estate because I do a ton of apartment housing investing and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be Redondo Beach. I think that's like November 1. So, yeah, everyone's welcome to connect with me through Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I'm very approachable, very accessible. If you email me, I get about 10,000 emails a day. I may not see it. Appreciate Grant. I know you guys are doing great things, you know, with your organization, and look forward to working with you as well.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Guys, you heard it. Make sure you connect with Howard. Make sure you do anything you can to get around him, study him, and pay attention to what he's doing, and access, you know, any various trainings, any products he has. This guy is definitely sharp, knows what he's doing, and knows how to take care of your business. So make sure that you connect with him. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.